you come from old money. And I go, you come from no money.
So if you don't know, Jack Jr. is on the podcast, owner or, you know, part of the family that owns
heir of the owner.
Heir of the owner, a ha-ha comedy, right? Ha-ha comedy. But what I love, man, and I'm gonna be honest with you, I met you. You actually gave me a lot of stage time when I first moved to L.A.
Yeah, yeah.
And I appreciate your whole family did.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
You're so nice.
I...
And that's very, I remember, is that weird though? It's weird in LA. I remember what attracted me to you was I could never say no to you because you like, you smile and you're so tall and it's like a big happy tree.
No, and anytime I needed to pop in to work on stuff, you would say yes. And this is what I love is I think when I met you, you were doing, but you weren't heavy into it like you are now.
No.
You were kind of like promoting, producing,
and hosting. That's it. I wasn't really heavy.
But what I love now, and I don't know if it was the new kid you have. How old is the boy or girl?
So I have I basically adopted two kids. I have my one, the one I made, my first son is 13.
The one you made?
The one I made. It's okay. 13.
Uh-huh.
She has a 13-year-old and an 18-year-old, and we had a kid together. So,
dude,
we have four kids.
How is that like going back to the beginning of kids? Because, like, my wife wants a third,
yeah.
I'm like, no, because but I guess you're so far removed from
yeah,
it,
yeah.
Like, that's 13 years. You forget how much work it is,
yeah.
13 years,
but I appreciate it more because when I had my first kid, I was like, man, I got a kid, like, it wasn't like I have a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was like, now I enjoy.
Because you were younger.
I was younger. I was divorced. I wasn't with her no more.
How old were you when you got divorced?
25.
So what age did you get married?
24. Like literally like that quick.
Really?
Yeah. And then, so like, it's different right now. I'm with the woman that I love and I had a kid with her. So the
first kid was a hookup. You liked her.
She got pregnant.
Uh-huh.
We're dating for like a year off and on. Mm-hmm. And then, my mom was like, you need to marry her. You can't just have a kid like that. I go.
Now.
And I was like, she goes, all families. And I'm 24. I'm like, okay, I guess.
Now, are you regretting? There's no regret. With kids, there's never, like the marriage part. Like that you took her advice.
I regret getting married. My mom does too. Because when I was walking down the aisle, she goes, she's crying. She goes, you don't have to do this. Because she saw how sad I was. Like, I didn't want to marry her, bro. I didn't want to. She didn't even want to get married. Like, it was just like we just did it.
We did it to
honor the relationship. I don't know what it was, but it was
And how long did you stay married?
For like 9 months, dude. 9 months, and then I couldn't picture myself with this person for the rest of my life, you know. And we're friends now. We're good now. We're actually really better friends than we were.
Did it take a while to get to that point?
Yeah, man. It took 4 or 5 years, dude. Like we didn't. She did a number on me, bro. She took my son away from me. Like, so when we broke up, we separated and then she left. I know I had the baby and I go, hey, I'm going to give you a couple months rent. Here's some money. I'm going to take care of you. You can find a new place. I'm going to leave or you can stay here, whatever you want. So I went to my parents.
We were living together. You were living together and you had the baby before you were married.
Yeah. No, we were married.
You're married.
I had a baby.
So why are you saying you can stay here and I'm going to go?
Because we were living in the house. We were living in the townhouse together. And I said, mm-hmm. I'm going to go. Stay here for 2 months. Figure out where you're going to go. We're going to move. We're friends, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Gotcha. I took the baby with me, went to my mom's house.
Gotcha.
And stayed there for like a month. And like two, 3 weeks. And then she goes, I really want to see the baby. I said, that's fine. I said, but right now, like, it was just really, really toxic. Like, we called it.
It was toxic.
On each other. It was like bad. So then she had family come see me one time. She goes, she just wants to see the baby. I said, fine. I give the baby to her aunt. And then she disappeared on me for a year and a half. Like that. Overnight. Gone. My whole life. She moved to Patterson, California. It's a small town near Sacramento. She moved there. I didn't know where she was. I hired a private investigator. I called the police. Kidnapping, this, that. There's no kidnapping because she's the mother. There's no court order, nothing. So it's just your son's with your mom.
I mean, look, it's pretty crazy to me, like, because the police, if it was you, they'd probably come after you. Like, if the father takes the child,
yeah.
They wouldn't be like, oh, it's the father.
Yeah.
But It's interesting that if it's the mother gets so much leniency.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if they're in the wrong.
Yeah.
Did you, was that how it was?
So me and her, we were partying a lot, drinking. Okay. You know? It was
a terrible relationship.
It was a terrible relationship.
Yeah.
It was a terrible, you know, and I didn't feel safe leaving the baby with her, you know?
No, of course.
It was both of us, but like, I kind of had my shit together because I was still working and providing.
Yeah.
But it was just like, it was just bad, man.
And how were you providing at the time?
I was working. I owned a cell phone store in the mall. I was a full blown Armenian. Hey, bro, you want the cell phone? I got to you.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. In the Gunla Galleria, so I had a Verizon kiosk. And then I also had I had two businesses. I had a cell phone store and I had an accessory cart in the mall, same mall. I was providing. I was working my ass off, working my 14 hour days, all just hustling. So then, not only did she take my son, then she starts freaking, she files for residency in Patterson, California,
mm-hmm.
forges my signature. Now fake serves me, never served me for court, right? Now she's a resident. They granted her a residency because I didn't show up to court because I never got served.
Yeah.
Now she is a resident there. Now they serve me for child support. Now that she's a resident, they serve me for child support, back child support. Now I'm paying $1,100 a month.
Wait a minute, you didn't try to fight this?
I did try to fight it, but they left your signature. It was back and forth, and they kept.
But even though you didn't sign it,
I didn't sign it. They prolonged the courts.
So you had to pay while they were figuring out.
Yeah, they kept having to pay. I said, fine. I don't want to go to court no more. I'm losing all this money. I lost my cell phone store. I lost my business. Now I'm depressed. I'm freaking doing drugs. I'm drinking every day. I'm going out partying, sleeping with women. I'm just trying to be like lit, trying to like numb myself, right?
And what are your parents doing? Because your parents are successful business.
My parents are successful people. I haven't gone to them yet. They still think that I got my shit together still.
Okay.
I'm still in a dark place. So finally, now I'm in a really dark place. And I go to my parents. I go to the Haha Comedy Club. I talk to my parents. I go, hey, Dad, I don't have a cell phone store anymore. I closed the business. They know what's going on with the whole divorce, the courts. Yeah. I go, I found Dominic. He's up there. And I need help.
Yeah.
They go, what do you want? I go, I need therapy. I go, I'm trying. I think I'm going to kill myself. And my dad goes, therapy? Are you crazy? You know how expensive therapy is? He goes, go on stage, do open mic. You want to talk to somebody? Go on stage. So I did my first open mic in 2010.
And you were 24.
24 years old.
So even though your family owned...
25, yeah.
Even though your family owned a comedy, yeah. The Ha Ha Comedy,
yeah.
And tons of A-list celebrities and comedians have gone through that room,
yeah.
Until it took you getting depressed and need therapy before you even tried a family business.
They didn't want to. I grew up in the family business. I didn't want to do what my dad did. I don't want to be around there. Because you know what? It's different when... I don't even I love performing there, but I don't even like performing there because it's not that I don't just have to perform there. I gotta see people. I gotta do the sound.
Yeah.
There's no bartender. Go make the drinks. I gotta do everything. Like it's like this is your business. This is yours. One day this is gonna be yours. I don't want it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to do my own thing. So at a very young age, I was very rebellious. My dad, 18 years old, made me move out of the house. I've always been grinding.
But that's a thing though that's different today. It's like I told my wife, 18, the kids are out. And like, now kids will stay in the house till they're 40. Like 40.
Yeah. I have friends that still live at home right now with their mom. And I
see,
that concerns me. If you can sleep in, if you have the luxury of sleeping in, you need to get your shit together.
Yeah. Like that's what I'm saying, man. It's pretty crazy where now it's not 18. Now it's like 25, 30. Yeah. And I was like, oh, no. Yeah. Once our kids hit 18, we traveling.
Yeah.
We gone.
Yeah.
Don't even think about these kids being in the house.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not having that.
Yeah, that's what I'm going through right now with my my stepson right now. Like, he's 18 years old, and he doesn't want to go
to school. It's time to go.
He doesn't want to go to school. He doesn't want to go to school. He wants to work full time but still live in my house and not do anything. So he had a rude awakening. Because you know what he said? He goes, you don't get it. You don't get it. The times have changed.
You can be lazy. Yeah. Right?
He goes, you come from old money. And I go, you come from no money. Like, he doesn't get it. So, like, he got a job now. He's working at Amazon.
So he was just hanging out at the crib.
He's hanging out for a year, not doing anything. for a year. I told Phoebe, what's going on, dude? He needs to do something. She was, he's still figuring it out. I said, no, man, he's fucking just living off of us for nothing. So then I couldn't.
It's such a dad thing.
But
though,
I couldn't. You know? I turned into my father because I remember I was like, when I was 16 years old and I would sleep in, he goes, look at my son sleeping in, lazy. You know?
Yeah.
So I turned into my, I would get mad that I'd be up at 7 a.m. grinding, working, doing something, and he'd be sleeping in.
I'm like that with my son right now. Like, and get he's up and six.
Take the trash, do something. And he would be like, oh, or half-ass it. Or he'd take the trash but not put a bag in it. Like, he'd do everything half-ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, yeah. That little stuff was bothering me, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
Then I said, I can't. His room was next to my room. I said, I can't have this anymore. I can't. You know what I did? I reconstructed my garage and I built a room for him just so I didn't have to see him every day.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's closer to the street.
So all you got to do is hit the button, the garage goes up and he leaves, right? Yeah. Close it. No, yeah. But that's the thing is, and that's what the appreciation of getting older is, every father starts saying things their father used to tell them. Yeah. You turn into your dad.
Totally. I'm like dad.
Like me
my
too.
My hair started turning a ponytail. So.
Right?
Yeah.
So over the last year.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen a switch turn where, man, you're everywhere.
Yeah.
Was that because of the kid, or you were just like, yo, I'm telling my son to get his shit together. I need to start hustling and getting my shit together too.
Yeah. So in 2020, when everything shut down, I had a lot of time to like, oh shit, like I can't do anything. Like I need to find a way to get to the next level. I can't just be just doing these shows like in LA.
Yeah. The promoter shows.
I can't be doing that. I can't stop popping at the Ice House and just do 10 minutes. I gotta get to the next level. So I read a book called Think and Grow Rich.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from Shark Tank. I love Shark Tank.
Shark Tank.
Oh my God, I love Shark Tank.
If you get, what's the best invention you've seen on Shark Tank you wish you would have came up with?
The drink camera. The ring.
Oh my God.
It's so simple.
And they passed on that.
Dude, they passed on it.
They passed on it.
The ring camera.
I got rings all over this.
Yeah,
house.
I don't know how I saw them.
Right? Hey! Yeah. You know, I think I'm going to add that element to the podcast is when people walk to the door and ring the doorbell. I think that's a cool opening to the podcast.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's cool. So I got focused and I started writing goals and like a weekly goal, a daily goal, monthly goal, 60, 90 days. Like, and that worked. I said, okay, I want to buy a house. I want to write a new 10 minutes. I want to work cruise ships. All this stuff. I just wrote it down.
Yeah, you should.
And it all came true. My baby, I want to have a baby. I said, I want to make $250,000 this year.
Yeah.
I'm making that.
You know,
it's just about applying myself, and that's all it was.
You know what's interesting is you find out when you write lists, because a lot of times what I notice about LA is everybody comes out, I'm a make it goal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But their steps they wrote, they never wrote steps.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you don't just make it, you feel like you haven't done anything. Yeah. But when you write realistic goals,
yeah,
you actually see yourself moving forward. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem so many people give up, because they just think about the big goal and not the little steps it takes to move.
Yeah.
I remember my first day in LA, I was always like this. I go, I just want to be on TV one time a week.
Yeah.
Got that. Two.
Yeah.
Got that. Three. So now I'm making realistic goals. Yeah. So at the end of the year, I'm like, oh, I'm on TV every day.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I want a headline.
Yeah.
So I got my group of, now, you know what? I want a headline all over the country.
Yeah.
I really want this club. Got that. So I always keep a mental note, and sometimes I write down a list at the beginning of the year, and it helps you mentally, because this is a mental game too. Comedy is.
Yeah, it is.
It shows you that you're actually moving forward and not in the same place. Because if you don't write that down, you'd be like,
you don't see it.
You don't see it at all.
And you know who told me that? Orlando Leyva and Nick Guerra always call me. Go, hey man, celebrate that real quick. Take the time. Yo, you got a cruise ship. So you're doing cruise ships.
Celebrate it.
I taped for Netflix for Arsenio Hall interview on Netflix. That was a huge moment for me. And I wrote all this stuff on you know what's crazy? I actually wrote on my board, do a major podcast with someone.
There it is. Right here. And but here's the thing is that you're such a giving dude.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you've seen the other side of it.
I've seen
you've had people hit your stages, you've done favors. Has there been a comedian that surprised you that they didn't look out for? You don't have to say their name.
There's been a lot.
Really? And you're like, yo,
there's
man.
There's a lot to this day. Like, honestly, like, I've probably seen, I think a lot of the big names look at me as young Jack Jr.
Yeah.
The owner's son.
Yeah.
That's what I get a lot
because that's how they met you.
Yeah. I know them. Like, I've worked with some really big names. And sometimes I feel like, you think you can put in a word, just give me an audition or just something. Like, I know you. We worked together, wrote together, we've done this, or put me on your podcast, give me plug my show. Like, I actually reached out to Brian Callen one time just because I was tired of it. I was like, man, I see you guys all the time and you guys do these great podcasts. I said, let me be a guest on it or something. And I haven't done his podcast yet, but he actually gave me a shout out on his podcast. Bert Kreischer's giving me a shout out.
Oh yeah,
love Rogan, Bert. All of those guys have given me shout outs on their podcast. But I've yet to do their podcast, and I kind of like, I feel
it
like,
fucks with
I
you.
I feel like, what? I go, I'm not a Comedy Store guy, a door guy, but those guys get on a lot of time, and it's which is great for them. I'm not hitting on them, but I'm just like, sometimes I reach out, like I go, what do I need to do differently to get on these big podcasts?
Well, I think, and I had to accept this too, because here's the thing. No matter, I have friends that just like you selling out stadiums,
yeah.
But there's always something else they want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're never satisfied if you're hungry, 100%. Right? You always want to eat.
Yeah.
And the thing you got to remember, and I remember this was happened 8 years ago, and it all works out perfectly. I was so upset because everybody was getting specials on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get one. You know, and I remember my agent, because I got mad at him.
Yeah.
And he goes, you're comparing yourself to other people's races. You can't.
Yeah.
That's not your race.
Yeah.
He goes, you don't know. They may have known somebody from Netflix.
Yeah.
Or Netflix may have not liked your special.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of this thing where, or he could not have sold it right to Netflix. But I believe that was a message where, yo, focus on your own shit.
Yeah.
Because you're funny and it's going to happen.
Yeah. That's
you know what I mean?
Huge. That's the biggest thing.
But we get caught because when you're in comedy, you see
everybody.
You see everybody. Yeah, and man, you see totally. Like comedians that nobody knows. 2 weeks later, they release a special and now they're selling out venues.
Yeah.
I did a show and she's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Ali Wong, 2 weeks before her special came out at the IS House.
Uh-huh.
2 weeks later, she's selling out everywhere.
Yeah.
Every came out. And you're like, you know, mentally, you're like, why didn't I get that shot?
Why not?
And it's a smart question. What do I need to do to get that shot? But the bad thing to think is they ain't funny how they get it.
Which, as well, you're not feeling like that. You're just feeling like,
yeah,
how come I'm not there with them?
Absolutely.
Like it's a race, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, they're there. But like,
but that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. It's not a race.
It's not a race.
Because their race is not your race. And that's what I had to learn.
Yeah.
Like me putting out a special with another company and nobody watching that special. I know Blasian.
Yeah.
It's a great special, but I really never watched it because I never got stopped.
Yeah.
Me learning from that moment, putting out my own special.
Yeah.
Now having clips with 20 to 25 million views. Yeah. My special did very well. I get stopped all the time from it and I own it.
That's great.
I would have never done my own special without that bad moment from my first special.
Yeah.
And now in 2 more years, I own my first special and I'm going to reshoot it and re-release it under me.
That's great.
Now the only time, and I tell people this, I would ever not own my own special if Netflix comes.
Yeah.
Because they're still the powerhouse.
100%.
People have seen my first special on Amazon and they've been like, oh yeah, I saw your special on Netflix. They've embraced
it's on
anything.
Netflix. It's on Netflix, right?
No, it's on Amazon. People think that because they see people.
I thought it was on Netflix.
People in their heads, any comedy, that's how well Netflix did with comedy.
Yeah.
Anytime somebody sees anything,
they
think it's Netflix.
That's
like crazy. My last special.
I'm being honest, I thought it was Netflix. That's
my last special, it's on YouTube. But people stop me up, man, that shit was great on Netflix. And the thing is, they're not lying because they think, I know they saw it because they're telling me jokes from it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, great.
Great.
You know, I was on Netflix for, is it Cake? You know, that big cake show.
Yeah.
So I was on Netflix. So people like, oh, Netflix. So his special must have been on Netflix too.
Yeah, your face is very.
It's all over the place. I'm a whore. I'm a whore, Jack. I'm a TV whore. If there's a TV show, you know I'm on it, Jack. Jr.
Yeah, you are.
I love it. I'm a slut of TV.
Coffee in the morning. I'm like, CBS. Like, what the fuck is he doing there?
So, I mean, but how do you adjust to that, man? Like, where you've done solids for so many people.
Yeah.
And they don't come through for you.
I'm not mad about it. It's almost like it hurts sometimes.
Yeah,
like,
it has to.
Like when you call me the other day and you're like, hey, man, you want, I'm like, hell yeah, man, I would love to.
Yeah.
That's all it is, a phone call. It's not about being famous or getting be a new trend. I just feel like for 14 years in this business, I put everything into it. I've helped a lot of comics whenever they need stage time. Hey, I'm taping this for this. I needed to get up. I said, yeah, man, for sure. It'll be great. And I just feel like it's time for a, you know, just a little push.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The people you helped out, like, this is comedy to me, and this is what I love about podcasting. And I've said this before, so excuse me if you've heard this podcast before, but I've said this before. I feel like when I started just 12 years ago, it was a much different landscape. Comedians really thought if somebody like them got ahead, that ruins their chance to get ahead. Then podcasting came about,
yeah,
and comedians were like, oh, we need other comedians.
Yeah.
So it actually, now they're still cliquish. I'm not going to lie. Like, people have their cliques.
Yeah.
It's like a high school of podcasting.
You know, what's your clique?
I'm not really in a clique.
I don't have a clique either.
Like I never, but I'm different from you where I never had a clique coming into comedy.
Yeah.
And since you own the club or heir of, you know, your family,
I have
nobody I came up with.
Yeah.
I don't have those war stories of, man, going to all these open mics and doing that.
No, you started in the friggin'.
I started on TV and then went into comedy.
Yeah.
So I was getting stage time.
Yeah.
You know, so I really don't have a group. And so that's why I know a lot of comedians.
Yeah.
But I'm not like bros with a lot of, because I never was in it.
I remember the first time I saw you, we were both doing American Comedy Company.
Oh, ACC, yeah.
My picture was up and yours was there. And we were both new comedy. You were producing your show, then I had my own show there. And that's when I first recognized your face. And I go, that's a nice face. Right?
No, but that's what I did when I first started. I produced my own shows right out of the bat so I could make
it.
I wasn't going to wait. It's called Hot Mess Comedy. Yeah,
Michael.
But I wasn't going to wait for people to give me stage time.
Yeah.
I was going to make it myself. But, you know, now it's time. It's like I'm always averaging a great amount of tickets per show now wherever I go. So, you know, the next step is like, oh, you need to get out of comedy clubs.
No, I like the clubs better than the theaters.
Well, see, but to show. So here's what I've learned.
Is it an ego thing?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. But this is what I've learned.
Mm.
Once you show that you can sell out of a comedy club.
Yeah.
Because I love comedy clubs too.
Yeah.
Once you go back into comedy clubs, they give you more money in that same city because they know you can sell. Because a lot of comedy clubs, this is what I learned. Comedy clubs, especially in Denver, they know they're going to sell tickets no matter who's there.
Yeah.
So let's say in Denver, they know.
I've never done Denver.
So let's say in Denver, they know, like a strong comedy club, they know, look, whoever's performing, our comedy club is so locked into this city, we're going to move 50 tickets a show.
Yeah.
No matter who's here. Right? So if you did 5 shows, that's 250 tickets.
Yeah.
Right? So they know with you or without you.
That they don't need you.
And that now you're, exactly. So let's say you sold an extra 500 tickets.
Yeah.
750. So really you sold 500. And even though your count says 750, in their minds it's like, no, you sold 500.
Yeah.
So what happens is when you get to that point, or if you sell it, like I'm selling between 800 to 1,000 tickets every weekend.
Yeah.
Right. So once you reach that 800 point, that's where the money goes up because now you're in that next tier.
Yeah.
Comedian. But to take it to, for the comedy clubs that go, we would have sold X number anyway.
Yeah.
You got to do it outside a comedy club.
Yeah.
So now your agent, and this is all from me learning. You know? And this is my first year doing this. Is once you sell outside a comedy club, a comedy club can't use that against you.
Because
you're like, oh, we would have sold that with him or what? Really? Well, he sold it by himself in this venue. So when you go back to a comedy club, you have more of a story.
Because
that's all comedy is stories. Yeah,
totally.
You know? Yeah. but it's a thing where, like, I think your position is different because for 14 years, you gave people love.
Yeah.
You know, that's different if you're like, oh, Jack, I put you on this podcast. You should put me in all, you know, like that's a whole different level. But when you've been doing stuff for people for 14 years,
that's me as a stand-up was 14 years. I've been working at the Haha since I was producing shows there since I was 16 years old.
So what is that? 30 years?
30 I mean, years. No, 20 years. 20 years.
20 years.
20 years.
So it's kind of like, yo, man, I gave my 20 years of my life to other people.
Dude, I used to
show me some love.
I used to take I can say it. Tony Rock. You know Tony Rock?
Yeah, of course.
Tony Rock, Ruben Paul, bro. I had a fake ID. I was 17 years old. I remember one time I'm going to a nightclub, White Lotus. This is back in the day in LA. White Lotus. Tony Rock and Ruben Paul couldn't get in. I got them in. We used to go party all the time.
Yeah.
Dude, it was such a good time, man.
But like, I would imagine those guys look out for you too.
Oh, yeah, they look out for you.
See, that's what's great.
Let me get something clear real quick. People think I'm getting booked at all these clubs because my parents own the Haha.
Do you really think that?
People tell me that. Or I get messages, oh, you're only getting booked because of the only you get booked to the who last
would,
guy three.
Who would write you that?
People like freaking haters.
Really?
I get some hate, man.
You,
oh, the
now
only,
why do you
only,
why do you get hate?
I don't know, man. I'm such a nice guy. And you know what's funny? I'm very sensitive too. I'm super sensitive.
Are someone, you?
Like I read the comments on YouTube and Instagram.
Oh,
I
get don't so, do that,
bro. Like people want to kill myself. I'm like no, man. I was like I thought about it in 2010, but it's just crazy. Like I think I proved myself. I think I'm very funny right now, and I'm growing and I'm learning, and that's all I want to do. I don't want to be Joe Rogan level. I don't want to be that level. I just want to be able to continue to take care of my family, and that's it. Provide.
And that's it. And honestly, that's the goal.
And
man.
I'm doing that right now, and I'm happy. I'm very happy right now. Like I was able to fly out my wife and my new baby. They're in the hotel right now.
Oh, that's
awesome.
I got
a room. They're chilling. We're at restaurants, we're hanging out, and that's what I'm like, this is perfect. I just bought a house in LA.
See, that's what it's about. Man, like, look, I'm hungry. I want to eat. I want to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah, yeah. Because
I want to be great.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I want 10, 15 years from now, they'll be like, yo, you see Michael Yo?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I want to be that dude.
Yeah.
You know, but that's my goal. That's what I've always, anything I do, I want to be like that. And, but when it comes down to it, I told my wife, this is so humbling for me, is I told my wife the other day, I go, if I don't get any bigger than I am right now, our family is set for the rest of its life.
Yeah.
Like, I can just keep touring like this and keep working in Vegas. Yeah. We're good. And that makes me feel so good.
Doesn't it feel good to wake
and
up?
And doing something that I love.
Yeah.
Like, but in comedy, you know, every year you get bigger and every because it's about exposure.
Yeah.
So I'm going, but right now, if you were to cut off my career and not grow anymore, but let me keep this level.
Yeah.
We're good. So, what's next? I mean, what's the ultimate goal?
Right
not
now,
own a comedy club.
Right? Not own a comedy club. Which is, my parents want me to do that. I don't want
to
do that.
Well, my parents wanted me to own Slotsky's Deli.
Okay,
because they had these delis in.
They have it though?
No, they just retired. But they wanted to be like a deli. Like they wanted to take over with these.
Yeah,
delis.
And a lot of people think, oh, like, oh, you're being selfish or whatever.
Yeah.
And I go, I'm not. I said, that's my dad's dream.
Yep.
I'll continue the dream. I'll hire someone. I'll check in. But I don't want that. I've seen them work their butts off, dude. Imagine they've owned a comedy club for 36 years. And I've seen them work all day long. They missed basketball games. They missed like stuff.
It's the toughest job when you own like a restaurant and biz a drink.
Full time.
It's full time. It never stops. If somebody calls out, you're there. If any, and you're depending on really young people to run it and be there. You know, I remember I worked there for a summer.
Yeah.
I worked drive through. I was like, I'm never working this place.
Never.
I told my parents, I'm not doing this.
Uh-uh.
I'm done. I can't do it. I'm not a restaurant dude, even though I'm great on the drive through.
You're so likable.
Hey, welcome to Slossy's Deli.
Upselling. Like, right. Hey.
Oh, that's great. Would you like some chips?
Would you like a large one instead? Oh,
That's me. I'm the upside. What's your comedy about right now? Like, what are you hitting on right now?
All I talk about is my family, my wife, my kids being Armenian and Mexican. Oh, that's what's been blowing up lately. My social media went out of nowhere. They've been posting up clips like everyone.
Yeah.
And
are you doing a lot of crowd work clips?
Yeah, crowd work clips because I don't want to throw. I'm shooting my special.
Yeah, you don't want to throw your real material.
I don't throw my real material, so I'm doing crowd work clips, but. The ones that have been hitting are I'm finally in a safe, comfortable place to talk about being Armenian and Mexican.
Yeah.
I never did that before because I was bullied as a kid for being Mexican at a private Armenian school.
Yep.
So, but I'm finally finding comfort and healing, and I've been making fun of it, and a lot of videos have been going viral on the internet, and I probably got over like 60,000 new followers in the past year. Just from Armenians and Mexicans and go, oh, I relate to that. Oh, my God, I'm half, too.
See?
You get it? You're half.
Oh, yeah. That I mean, when Blazing, the one thing when Blazing came out, this is what nobody really knew the word when I came out with
it. Yeah.
Now everybody knows the word
Blazing.
And I love that now I've gained a big audience. And they don't even have to be black and Asian. They can be mixed.
Any mix.
Like, when I was growing up, there were no commercials with mixed couples.
Nope.
Now you can't turn on the TV without a mixed couple.
Yeah, I haven't seen a white person forever.
I know, white people just disappeared off a commercial. They don't even cast white people. White people are like, yo, we used to get all these commercials.
Yeah, white is the other now in the box.
It will be. In 30 years, it will be.
My son right now is Filipino, Portuguese, Armenian, Mexican.
Dude.
Isn't that crazy? He looks like you.
Yeah, we all look the same. You could be mixed up. Everybody's going to look like this one day, you know? But my son and daughter, black, white, and Asian, man.
Yeah.
Like, and my daughter looks exactly like my wife. Like, literally, if I was holding my daughter, people are like, oh, whose daughter is that? Yeah. Like, besides her lips, she looks exactly like a white. She got blue eyes. It's crazy.
Wow.
My son looks exactly like me.
Yeah.
It's almost like they don't look like brother and sister.
Yeah.
And I tell my friends, I made a spy. My daughter is a spy. She can walk into any, she can infiltrate any white area and find out what they're really saying about me. Yeah. She looks really white. Really like white.
James Bond's
wife. Yeah, right. She's my right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, tell me what those white people said about me. Go in there.
When I walk with my son, it looks like I found him or I stole him.
But it's so great, man, because when I first met you, you were doing sex jokes and just...
Oh, sex, drugs, all that, yeah.
All those kind of jokes. And now, it's crazy how the older you get and more mature...
Because that's where I was. Exactly. I was just having sex and doing drugs in a really dark place.
Yeah.
It was my therapy. That's all I was doing.
Did you ever go to therapy or just comedy?
No, just comedy. I did therapy one time. I remember I went there with my dad. We went together.
Oh my God.
We had a relationship, like we're bumping heads all the time. So my mom was like, you guys should go see a therapist. So we sat down there and then we're talking and then she's like, how does that make you feel? And I'm like really letting it out. And my dad was, all right. He got mad. He goes, I don't need therapy. I am strong. And he walked out. I go, see, that doesn't love me.
That's so weird. You know what I love now? We're in an age where we can talk about mental breakdowns and issues. Let me tell you, after COVID, it definitely took a part of me being that close, you know, to the other side. Like I'm still happy and stuff, but sometimes like, oh, there's a little of me that got taken with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm not the same. I never get depressed.
Yeah.
But it's like, yo, why am I feeling like, even after a show, I think as a comedian, you have so many, during a night, you have to get up for the show, and then you relax, and then you wind down, and then you have to get up for the next show.
Yeah.
And then you're at a hotel by yourself.
Depressing.
Dude, it's such an emotional roller coaster, and it's in 4 hours.
Yeah.
Literally in 4 to 5 hours, you've gone from your highest high to your lowest low to your highest high to your lowest, and now you're by yourself.
Meet and greet. Hi. I love you. You're great. You're great. You're great. Yeah. And then everyone's gone, and it's dark. You're by yourself.
What's the last argument you got into with a comedian?
With a comedian? Oh, my God. Recently. I'm not going to say who.
No, don't say his name.
Or her name. It was her, whatever, him, whatever. I do a lot of crowd work stuff, and I know he's seen me do this crowd work, but it's become like a bit almost. And word for word, I saw it on his page. He recreated like the moment, like and then I messaged him like, hey man, I did that. You used to work for me with me. I think you saw me do that. Maybe you said, I'm not saying you stole it, but maybe you subconsciously.
No. I'm not saying you, but you stole it.
Yeah, yeah. And then he goes, no, man. I go, it's cool, man. I just showed him the proof. I go, look, I posted this in 2019. Here's the clip. And then he goes, oh, it's cool. And I go, so you take it down? He goes, no. And his video is going viral right now. Viral. And it's hurting me because I'm like, dude, I thought of that, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then, but I got over it. I said, you know what? I don't want to be that guy that's a joke police and have that negative energy around me. So I just said, I forgive you. I love you still. We're good. But it's I needed a day to get angry.
Dude, let me tell you something. I used to have a very close friend that was a comedian.
Yeah.
And a very funny person. And they called me one day. Because things started to blow up for me.
Yeah.
And they go, hey man, you took my joke.
Oh.
And I go, what? I go, I would never, I don't even watch comedians. So it happened at the Comedy Cellar. And he goes, you never thought of that concept till you saw me do it. And the problem with that.
It's a concept. It wasn't.
It's a concept, but no. But the problem with that, he's saying I took it to the joke. And the problem with that is I know I didn't.
Yeah.
But you have to prove you did.
Yeah.
That's what the thing is. You can accuse any comedian of something, and then they have to provide the proof.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't, he could run around and say,
"Yeah,
I took him." That's what I hate. I hated that I had to prove him wrong.
Yeah.
Even though I know I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, he'd be like, "Well, see, he took my joke."
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So this is what I love about the Comedy Cellar. This,
they booked you guys together.
They did a long time ago.
And you did it first, or he did it first?
Let me tell you, hold on. Here's up. So his thinking is, I saw it from him that night we met. Now, I've never seen any of his stuff before that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he never put that bit he said I stole out. This is what I love. They tape every set, right? So I remember we met, I think it was in August. This was like a while back, in August of last year. And I put out my special. So he said I stole two bits. And his thinking, since you heard me do them, so you stole them. I go, if that's your thinking. And one of the bits he said was 8 years old on my first special.
Yeah.
So I go, by your thinking, that means you took it from me.
Yeah.
Because you just, because all my specials are the same. They look the same. I wear the same outfit. So he thought what I took was new, but I said, look at the background of it. That's my first special I did 7 years ago. So if you want to go by that, that means you took it from me.
Yeah.
So I proved him wrong on that one. And then the new one that came out of my new special, and it wasn't even a joke. It was just a one-liner, right? Because the first joke I go is, I never thought me, during COVID is crazy, I never thought me and two black friends walking into a bank would be told to put on a mask. And then I go, you know what that's like? That's crazy. That's like white people hearing two black people won the cornhole championship of the world, right?
Oh, okay.
So joke did really well. It went viral.
Yeah, yeah.
A piece of that joke he thought I took from him. So I call Comedy Cellar and I ask him for footage a month before I met him.
Uh-huh.
Month and a half. And they're like, well, you want us to go a year and a half back? This was like, no, probably like 9-10 months back. I go, yeah. And I go, why? I go, I don't know. Nope. Just send me it. Send me the footage. I was doing that joke 3 months before I met him.
Oh.
And I sent him the footage, one, and he didn't say anything. What I was going to do is about to be a dick and send him the bit every single day, every day I did it before I met him.
Wow. Like
from 3 months ago.
I'm assuming you guys aren't friends now.
No. And this is why we're not friends. He never apologized.
That's terrible.
It's terrible, man.
You got to own up to it, man.
And he's doing super well.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like,
it's hurtful, you know, but man. No, we were friends.
It's hurtful, but also in my mind, because I'm working on myself.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I could destroy this dude too.
Yeah.
I could go on a couple podcasts, put him on blast.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he, because clubs asked me about him. I could be like, yo,
I know him, huh?
Huh?
I know him.
Yeah. Clubs asked me about him. Oh, should we book him? I got him booked.
Yeah.
I got him booked in a lot of clubs. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's kind of like,
I don't know if you guys are watching right now over there, everyone's trying to figure out who it is.
I know. You're never gonna find out.
Never gonna find out.
But what's funny is a piece of me was like, yo, I'm about to
this
guy. But then he has a family.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
It's not
worth it to get into that. So I go, even he knows he's wrong, but it just
own up to it.
Well, we never talked since then.
He should.
After I sent him that, he should
apologize.
And maybe it's because, I don't know, if I say too much, people know it. But I'm happy. Look, I can honestly say I'm happy he's able to provide for his family. He's touring all over the country now. And that's great. But be a man enough to be like, yo, I called you out for something you didn't do, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Be a man. Yeah. If you're going to be a man, if you're gonna be a man and accuse somebody of something, be a man and say, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, but the problem with the whole thing is I had to prove, even though I know I didn't.
You had to go back.
I had to go back and prove it.
You wasted time and your energy. You could have done something positive.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what's crazy about my story, too, is the comic that I was accusing, he told my joke, right? He did it, and then he messaged me yesterday. I forgot to tell you this part. He said, he showed me a clip from Big J Orgerson, and he goes, yo, he's doing our joke. So that's what I'm saying. It wasn't a clever joke, I guess. You know, it's pretty, people thought of it, whatever, it's done.
Dude, it's a thing where—
parallel thinking.
Comedy is so parallel. You know, we all have the same thoughts.
So like four comics hit me up. He goes, hey, did you watch this special? They did my joke. And like, I'm like, oh shit, they did do your joke. Like there was like three or four jokes. One was from Cody Woods, Carlos Rodriguez, and
which Jonathan joke was Kite.
Those three guys, they have bits. One of them was,
is it parallel or is it exactly the
same? I don't know, man. It's you gotta watch, you gotta look it up, guys. I don't want to ruin the joke.
Okay, yeah,
but yeah, it was just crazy. They showed me the video and I was like, well, it's, yeah, I guess take it as a compliment, or there's a.
I don't think he's going out to try to take.
Jokes. He's not trying, but I'm saying if he hired someone,
it's kind of like a singer having a writer that heard something that hasn't been released and be like, oh, we're going to kind of take that because it's not going to be as big.
Yeah. I don't know. It was pretty spot on.
Was it really?
Yeah. Cody Woods actually called me and told me a few times about it. He goes, these. I don't know, man. He's Cody Woods is a really great writer. If you know Cody Woods?
No, I don't.
Bro, he's a really good writer. He's so funny. You got to check him out, man. Shout out to Cody Woods. He's funny as hell, man. You look at his social media, his clips, he posts up clips all the time. And he's been lifted a few times. He even told me one time that Chappelle's people took his joke. Like, that's how deep it is.
Really?
Yeah, man. It's pretty crazy. I don't know what it is.
But do you think? But
people tell me a lot of shit. I don't know why they just call me.
Is that a comic going, yo, they took my joke, or could this be? Because here's the thing.
That's the thing. There's a thin line. Well,
no, it's a thin. But I feel like if it's generic,
yeah,
Tinder, dating apps, like certain concepts are so generic.
Yeah.
That everybody kind of has. Because look, if you compare it to movies,
yeah,
romantic comedies,
they're all the same.
Has an asshole boyfriend, moves into town, new guy comes, they hook up with that guy, asshole boyfriend goes away. Every rom-com is pretty much the same.
Fast and Furious, Point Break, same movie.
So I feel like comedy is kind of like when you talk about generic things, you know, it's kind of like the same concepts because we're all creative. We're all thinking about the same things.
Yeah.
That's what I think. If somebody pulls something from your life, it's harder to do that.
Yeah, it's more real. It's you.
It's more real. Like if I came out and said, yo, I'm on Armenian and Mexican. Like, you know what I mean? So then it's like, yo, they took that from me.
Yeah.
That's different. All right. You're shooting a comedy special. When are you doing that? Do you know yet?
I do not know yet, but okay. I'm on tour for the rest of the year.